It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Welcome back in. You can inject that Josh Young walking off the Yankees right into my veins just on constant replay this morning. Loving every second of it. Welcome back in. We'll see if the Royals can make a little magic tonight. We'll get into the Royals as we make our way through this second hour. We'll preview tonight's game specifically a little bit later. We have Felix Johnson coming up this hour as well. We'll talk a little NFL, talk a little Kansas City Chiefs. That's coming. We'll finish our conversation on the coaches poll coming out yesterday. It's all what's on tap here for you in this second hour. Brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, featuring free mini homemade root beer floats with any kinds of, with any kids meal, I should say, purchase from August 4th through the 8th. So this runs through the end of the week here. A limited supply of WBC keepsake mini mugs will be given out. Hurry in today. WBC, it's pizza and root beer made here. You can call us at 869-1240. You can reach us on our video streams on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. As we go into the finishing touches on our conversation about the coaches poll, Living the Dream on X says maybe the way to look at it is they weren't paying attention and only used the bowl game as the barometer. To say they're paying attention is risky, in my opinion. Normally, I would agree, and to some extent, the thing about this one is, This was people that are involved in like betting, and in two different places I saw him that high on a list. So I wouldn't discount it like you would like the betting markets on some obscure sporting event. Well, this is college football. Like, these people are paying attention. And the reality is, I get it. Like, it's like an upside play. But if you took Dylan Edwards and what he's capable of, and extrapolated to a workload that he hasn't seen, right? Like, he hasn't had that in his career. At Colorado, he had 76 carries. He had more catches at Colorado, which is something to pay attention to and something I do think he'll do this year. But he only had 74 carries. So you're going to have to at least, you know, double that workload, which, again, isn't that outrageous. Most games last year, Dylan Edwards had somewhere between 6 and 8 carries a game. To think that could go up to, you know, 12 to 15 is completely reasonable. In fact, it should. Now, is he going to get Deuce Vaughn, DJ Giddens workload. I doubt that's the plan right now, Tommy. But what if he does, like the bowl game, because they need him to, and he shows he can handle it? Do you not then utilize him that way?
I think that you have to. You have to utilize him in that way. But I also think that there's enough versatility in that offense that there may not be quite as many opportunities. Like, it's not just like their offense, at least to run the ball, their running game is just a handoff to Dylan Edwards in the backfield, right? Like, Avery Johnson can take off on his own. And so there are going to be plays that are going to be called for him, where in other offenses, that could just flat out be a run for a running back, right? A carry for a running back.
Well, right, sure. But look at the workload DJ Giddens got in the same environment last year. You know what I mean? Look at the environment with Deuce Vaughn when he played for Will Howard, when Will Howard was a bona fide Heisman candidate, the year he sort of woke, you know, opened all our eyes up a little bit. I think it's college football, man. They go at such a rapid pace. There are going to be tons of plays running this offense. To me, it's more about how often is Dylan Edwards not on the field? You know what I mean? Like, how often are they going to spell him with another back? Because if he's on the field, he's always got an opportunity to do something. They can throw him the ball. He was more of an option in the pass game at Colorado than he was at K-State. Again, I think the really interesting thing about his role in this offense is DJ Giddens was there last year. And DJ Giddens is going to command that kind of workload. So without him there, then what happens? That's what, to me, that's where you look at Dylan Edwards, because it's like, who else is going to do it? You've got a guy that's as talented, and this is I don't even want to say this out loud, because DJ Giddens had such a great career, but I think I'm comfortable saying Dylan Edwards is as talented as DJ Giddens. Different style, I get it. But DJ Giddens carried the ball 200 times in 23 and 24. If you can tell me Dylan Edwards is going to sniff 200 carries this year, look out, right? And the only reason we aren't making that like a certainty is because of his size. That's it. DJ Giddens was 6'1", 200 pounds. It's pretty big for a running back, right? Dylan Edwards is 5'9", 1. So you're talking about a big, big difference there in size. I'll have to look up. Let's look up Deuce Vaughn's size. I know he was shorter, but I think he weighed.
Yeah, Vaughn was like 5'7", like 5'7", 5'8".
Yeah, but he, you know what? They bore, like, he's listed at 176. So he probably looked bigger because he was 2 or 3 inches shorter, but he's not that much bigger than, you know, than what Dylan Edwards that, you know, is listed at. So I think that's what's all baked into it. Like, they're baking in when they do things like that, put him that high on lists of statistics, because that's all fantasy football is, right? Statistical. You're just piling up stats. It's because they envision him with the kind of workload he had in the bowl game. And honestly, what's more responsible, to envision him in the role he had in the one game without DJ Giddens or not? It's probably somewhere in between.
I don't want to knock Dylan Edwards, because I think he's really talented and I think he's going to have a lot of success this season. But I don't think that it's accurate to put that level of production on his shoulders. I don't think that right now that's what we should be expecting out of him. There was an article that came out a couple of days ago that Brian Anderson, who's the running backs coach at K-State, did an interview, and he said that this is the deepest running back room that he feels like he's ever had at K-State. His quote was, "I think this is the deepest room. You have 1 through 4 and maybe 1 through 5 instead of just 1 and 2 and maybe 3. And then he went on to say that it's about what it's going to take to win the game. If it's multiple guys, it's multiple guys. I know they like Joe Jackson a lot, and he had a limited role last year. He'll take a step forward this year, probably get more run than he did a season ago. There's a transfer that came in, a guy by the name of Antonio Martin, that they like a lot too. They've got a lot of depth at that position, but more than that, they've got versatility. They can do a lot of different things. We know Dylan Edwards can catch passes out of the backfield. I think that that's where we'll probably see. I think that's probably where we'll see the most, the increased production out of him will probably be more so in the pass game than it will be consistently getting additional carries and yardage and things like that. I think generally speaking overall, we're going to see Edwards on the field a whole heck of a lot more than we did a season ago. But I still don't think, and I know that Tim Fitzgerald has said this on a couple of occasions, I'm not sure that K-State is envisioning him as the workhorse type back, even though that's what he did in the bowl game. I'm not sure that's a realistic expectation going into this year.
Over or under 140 carries for Dylan Edwards this year? That'd be 12 carries a game if he played 12 carries a game over 12 games.
I'm going to say over, but slightly. I don't think it's going to be a major. I don't think he's going to have 200 carries in the season or 175. So let's
call it 100. We'll call it 150.
Yeah, 150.
I think that's fair, right? He averaged 7.5 yards a carry last year. So you're looking at, you know, a 1,000-yard season. I think I agree with you. He'll catch more passes, but they didn't throw a lot last year to DJ Giddens either. I'm not sure Avery Johnson is going to be a check down guy, but I do think Edwards may line up as a receiver some. Here's the other thing about college football. The coaches aren't going to tell us anything. College football coaches are notoriously, like, they're not going to give us anything. Of course, and no offense to the running backs coach, of course he's going to say it's the deepest room he's ever had. He had rooms that featured Deuce Vaughn and DJ Giddens, though. Like, let's be real about that. Like, you've had that room there for a while. So, I get it. Deepest room. But at the end of the day, you're trying to win football games and you want your most electric player. Well, your quarterback's your most electric player, but you want your most electric weapon to have the ball often enough to make a difference. I don't know. I think 150 is a pretty good number for carries, but that's almost going to be, 12 to 15 carries a game. That is a significant, that's a big number. And so that's probably where this comes from. And it makes me excited for K-State as they get ready to open against Iowa State and Ireland in a game that I cannot believe how significant that game might be right out of the gates. Those are two teams that could win this league. That is going to be wild. What an awesome, awesome way to start. We know they're both now going to be in the top 25. Like, oh man, it is going to be so cool.
You know what's kind of flown under the radar too is that KU plays in that opening week as well.
Yes,
both teams play
a pretty
in
good game.
I know
Fresno State.
Both teams play in week zero, which I don't. Has that ever happened before? You've got both KU and K State basically kicking off the season before the season really starts.
I don't remember either of them ever playing in week zero anyway, let alone both. Man, we're it's almost time to dig in deep to college football. When we come back, we'll dig in deep to some football, but at the NFL level. Felix Johnson set to join us here on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Infinity Refreshing!
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we welcome in Felix Johnston, our Chiefs insider, talking Chiefs all summer long, as well as the rest of the happenings across the NFL. You can find him on X at Felix R. Johnson. You can find his work at the Talkball Podcast, Arrowhead Addict, and a variety of other places. Felix, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good. This will be, I think we got about four more of these before we will be talking about the opening of the NFL season, I believe is what we're at now on the calendar and the countdown to the NFL. We're coming up on the preseason opener for the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy Reid hasn't been asked the inevitable, how much do you think the starters will play, question in this one. I suspect it'll be the same as always, which is a series in this one. Most of the attention, though, as far as that's going, kind of on the wide receiver room, they're a little bit of a walking wounded already here. What do you expect out of that group in the preseason? Hollywood Brown on ice? Do we see any of Rashee Rice since he's going to get suspended? Like, how do you handle that, do you think, if you're Andy Reid?
Well, I think it is kind of interesting because you have a guy like Hollywood Brown who got hurt in the preseason last year. And like, it is like, you don't want to be superstitious, but you do want to be a little stitious, in the words of our good friend Michael Scott. And so like, it is kind of like, do you want to put Hollywood Brown in harm's way immediately and because you do need him early on because of the Rashee Rice situation? Do you put Rashee Rice out there because is he going to be out there for the first 6 weeks of the season? Does a guy like Jalen Royals or Xavier Worthy need more reps at his position and different stuff like that? So it is kind of a fluid situation. But like you said, they are walking wounded like they have been for the last two or three years at this position. And Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, and I know they're all a year older and a year further along into this process, but they're a year further along into this process. I'm sure they're going to be able to figure at least something out, especially in the early part of the season where Kansas City is the most dominant that's the most dominant part of their season is the early part aside from the postseason.
One of the big storylines coming out of training camp over the last week or so, the fiery argument, I guess, if you want to call it, between Josh Simmons and Ashton Gelati during training camp. Those two went at it. They had been battling basically throughout that entire day. I know that you're a lineman. You have that kind of mentality. I can only imagine when it's 95 degrees up in St. Joe and you're in pads and you're battling all day long. You know, the tempers are going to flare a little bit, but Andy Reid said after the fact that he loved that kind of fire between the two rookies. What were your big takeaways from what you saw there?
I think you hit the nail on the head there. That's the true enemy, was the sun, was the heat, was the barely the gaps between their pads that they could barely get any breeze through because it was 95 degrees in the middle of the day. It's just, it's football. These are alpha men. They've been the best at, and especially younger guys, like Josh Simmons and Ashton Gelati coming out of college. These are guys that were probably one of, if not the best player on their team in their position group at Ohio State for Josh Simmons. And so, like, these are guys that are used to being the top dog, and now they're butting heads with other top dogs at the top doggiest place in the world, the National Football League. And so, like, that's all it is. Like, we see it every year. We haven't seen it yet this year. It's probably because he's, all right, I'm too old for it. But Travis Kelce every year seems to get into a slap boxing match with somebody. And guess what? Everybody loves Travis Kelce because he's Travis Kelce. These guys are going to be brothers by the end of the year because this is just football. That's how it works. It's way hotter than it should be. Whatever. It's too much on that side of it. That's the real enemy. And these guys are just teammates. And worst case scenario, they work in two separate departments of the building. One's a D lineman, the other's an O lineman. They'll meet each other a couple times during the week in practice. But other than that, it shouldn't affect that much on Sundays.
They'll be fine. Andy Reid's been to four straight Super Bowls. I think they'll be fine. I mean, he knows what he's doing. Speaking of Simmons, it feels like a foregone conclusion at this point that he's going to start the year at left tackle. They're working Jalen Moore at left guard all of a sudden now. I don't know what else you need to see. If they're moving, they're not moving Josh Simmons around to get a little work at guard, right? He's going to start if all is well and he's healthy, like as in he doesn't get injured in training camp, he's your starting left tackle, don't you think, in week one?
Well, yeah, and I think it is kind of interesting. Cody and I on the Let's Talk Ball podcast, shameless plug there, but we spoke with Nate Taylor, now of ESPN, and just a couple days before training camp started, he was like, we don't know who the left tackle is going to be. And within a couple of days, it was like, oh, yeah, we got this guy. And I think that is – it works both ways of, like, this is awesome of the Kansas City Chiefs have found a guy at the 32nd overall pick, and maybe he's going to be – he was probably going to be a top 10 overall pick had he been healthy coming in, and it's a big dub for the Chiefs medical staff. So you can look at it that way. You can look at it, again, kind of a little bit more pessimistically, kind of the way I look at it. 365 days ago, they were madly in love with Kingsley Suamataia, saying that he's going to be the week one left tackle starter, and things just didn't work out well. And I know it's two different situations, two different players, and they're working out some other situations and whatever, but at the same time, it is kind of you hear the same song over and over again. You kind of know the lyrics. I'm not entirely excited about it until we see him play, and we're multiple weeks down the road, and we can see that Josh Simmons can play in this league, and especially at the left tackle spot, because as hard as quarterback is, left tackle, you literally have to, like we're talking about, you have to put your hands on somebody every play of the game, so it's that much harder. So I think that it is going to be interesting to see how this position develops, and as the entire offensive line develops. And again, they've been walking wounded at two very important spots, and they've still found a way to win. And I think they're going to be, like we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, I still think they're going to be better at most of these spots just because hopefully they'll be healthy.
You mentioned Kingsley Suamataia. The initial speculation after the Chiefs traded Joe Tooney away was that Kingsley Suamataia could play left guard. Well, now it sounds like there's at least a possibility that Jalen Moore could slide in and play left guard. Do you think ultimately this Kingsley Suamataia experiment is going to work out? Will he have a spot as a starter on this team?
I think the realistic answer as we currently stand is no, at least for 2025 and maybe into 2026, depending on what the Chiefs decide to do with Juwan Taylor. I think that in today's day and age, and we can talk about this, and again, I think you should go listen to the Let's Talk Ball podcast because my partner Cody does a much better job at this, but describing the versatility that the NFL has, and like on defense, you see safeties that can play down in the box but also play in the middle of the field like a Buda Baker type. You see different guys that can play all over the field, and I think at least in my business, if you will, one of the more versatile or most important spots is a swing tackle, where you've seen teams like the Buffalo Bills and the Detroit Lions with Ben Johnson. I'm sure he's going to take it to Chicago with them. They've been able to add a sixth offensive lineman to the field, and it kind of changes what they do. And we haven't seen a ton of what the Chiefs have been able to do that because we just haven't been able to get five offensive linemen.
Yeah,
they're
trying to find one tackle, let alone
exactly. And so, like, if Kingsley Suamataia can fit in as that second string tackle just in general on the left and right side and just kind of be that swing tackle that can fit in on both sides. I'd rather a guy that's been a part of the system for a year and a half at that point, as opposed to just, all right, we're going to roll it back with a fifth round rookie. And so you have a Kingsley Suamata because you have a Jalen Moore, you have Josh Simmons, you have Wanya Morris, you have a lot of different guys that hopefully can fit into these different spots. I'm not even just saying it has to be Kingsley. It can be a all of these different guys. And so I think that the Chiefs are looking at that and saying we need to be more versatile on the offensive line, and that will make us better just by the depth.
Kingsley will play snaps for the Chiefs this year. Yes. It's inevitable. So will Wanya Morris. So will all of these guys. Guys are going to get hurt. It's the NFL. Mm-hmm. They just need them all playing well. So we know they need to pass block. How much do you think? We talked about this, Felix Johnson joining us, our Chiefs insider. We talked about this ad nauseum last year. It was because they couldn't pass block and they had all the injuries to receiver. Why don't they run the ball more? What do you envision out of the run game this year? Because by all accounts, Pacheco's healthy. Is this an offense that can line up and carry it? I don't know what the number we can put on it is, 15 to 17 total times a game. Is that realistic at all? And the receivers are already going down here.
Yeah, and I think that's on the low end. 15 to 17 times should be on the low end.
I don't know, and
I know we're talking about Andy Reid here, but I think especially in this trend, in this day and age, especially where we've seen what the Eagles did last year, what the Lions did last year, and what the Chiefs need to do this year just to kind of control more games. And like, again, Patrick Mahomes refuses to win a game by more than 3 points. We've gone over that 100 million times. That's just how we're going to survive as Chiefs fans for the next decade, hopefully. But at the same time, it is, how do you kind of manage that game? How did New England do that over the course of their dynasty? It was a lot of LeGarrette Blount. It was a lot of James White. It was a lot of just different backs. And what we haven't seen from Andy Reid and Brett Veach this offseason was like, yeah, let's go ahead and get a couple of backs. Now they go ahead and get a Carlos Hyde every now and then. They go out and they have Isaiah Pacheco, and they go out and get Kareem Hunt during the season last year. But these are more moves that made out of necessity than anything. And Isaiah Pacheco coming in as a seventh round pick is kind of just an interesting thing that's happening. And so I think that it's one of my favorite things that Sean McVay does. Even if the run game isn't as efficient, he still runs the ball anyway, and sometimes he just ends up with a 3rd and 7. Well, guess what? Matthew Stafford is his quarterback, and he kind of just trusts him to go into that. And I know Andy Reid is who he is, but sometimes he's like, yeah, you have Patrick Mahomes. You may not have the receivers. The offensive line may not be there. But again, we've never seen a guy like this before. Trust him on 3rd and 7, especially when it's late in the 3rd or 4th quarter. And sometimes that's when the Chiefs have just decided to abandon the running the football, especially
they ran it 26 times a game last year. Mm-hmm. There is no way they're running it 26 times a game this year unless there are major injuries.
There, it's not that there's already injuries. There's experience, and Rashee Rice is gone. And if he's going to be your number one receiver, how are you expected to pass the ball without your number one receiver? Like we saw them last year, like we saw them without their both top two receivers to start the season, essentially, or at least through the middle part of the season after Rashee got hurt. But they figured it out somehow. And so I think that we might see an early part of the season where they just win a bunch of one score games, and then Rashee Rice comes back, and then we start to see what they're supposed to be like in the postseason. But at the same time, I think running the ball it has to be more of an emphasis, at least philosophically and schematically.
Fellas, we've gone this long and have not talked about Micah Parsons yet. Felix, is Jerry going to trade Micah Parsons? Is that going to happen?
No. No, absolutely not. No. He should have paid him a long time ago. And I think it's Micah's last card to play because he's shown up to training camp, and like you can go into the Trey Hendrickson situation, see how he's lost money in a similar situation could arrive for Micah Parsons, even though the rookie contract is a little bit different. But you heard it from Micah Parsons, at least I've read his entire
novel, the novel.
Yeah, and it, like a lot of it just made sense. He opened it and said, I want to be a Dallas Cowboy. That's what he showed this entire offseason.
Poor guy.
And like he wants to play for, like, honestly, it does kind of suck. Like, poor guy. You want to play for Jerry Jones in this franchise? Like, why are you doing this to yourself? But at the same time, it's like he wants to be a part of the resurrection of the Dallas Cowboys to what they were in the early 90s and even before that. So it is kind of frustrating why a guy like Jerry Jones isn't signing that guy because of all of those things. And then you add on all of the on-field components of that. He's a fantastic player, and Jerry Jones is throwing out there that he missed 10 games last year. Well, it's the NFL. Injuries happen. You saw what your defense was without him. You saw what your team was without him and without your quarterback. So you had to pay a guy like that. So I understand we've had the conversation of edge rushers in football haven't exactly gotten you to the promised land. But at the same time, there isn't a guy like Micah Parsons out there that you can just trade and just say like, oh, you'll get two first round picks and then your defense.
So you think the Cowboys should trade him, pay him $45 million a year?
Absolutely.
No. That never works. There's no history of that working. Give me a list of the highest paid defensive linemen, defensive edge rushers, especially. Like, it doesn't work. It's not here. Here's the thing about Micah Parsons too. And I love the player, but we're to the point now. You can't have two of these guys. You have Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons, and they both cannot stop talking. Micah Parsons, who's under contract, by the way, for $24 million a year. You know what? Do you recall his take on Nico the transfer Tennessee quarterback, Nico? You remember what he said about that?
Real quick, how many defensive players in football are better than Micah Parsons? And just how many?
We're not talking about his ability.
I'm talking about paying $45 million a year. And I understand that because there's only three guys that are like Micah Parsons or even maybe even better than him. You have to pay. Like, it is kind
you
of the price of
you don't have to. No, you don't.
You kind of do.
How many players are better than TJ Watt?
You don't have to pay Brock Purdy $53 million.
Yes, but you do have to pay Brock Purdy.
Exactly. It's the price
Purdy
of doing business.
Brock Purdy is a quarterback.
You have to give Garrett Wilson $120 million.
Brock Purdy doesn't win you a Super Bowl.
How many defensive players are better than TJ Watt?
Zero.
One, maybe two.
Steelers going to win a Super Bowl with him? Making $45 million?
That's more because of who their quarterback is.
I agree. I completely agree.
That's more of an organizational thing. They had more. We could talk about the Steelers and why they can't figure it out. I think particularly in the NFC with the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott is a good enough quarterback to win you the NFC. I know that might be the craziest thing in the world.
No, I agree with you. Here's my point. Micah Parsons does not do anything directly to help Dak. You have invested in Dak, which was a mistake.
What are you talking about? Like the whole outside of Micah Parsons on the Dallas Cowboys defense, who?
That's a good point. That's a good point. It's Diggs, Micah Parsons.
Maybe.
Yeah.
De'Ron Bland.
They just paid a defensive tackle huge money.
I think it's wrong also.
It doesn't matter.
I think it's wrong also to say that Micah Parsons does nothing to help Dak Prescott win a game. I think that's completely wrong because you want Dak to score 45 points a game every single game to win.
Micah Parsons is a great player. Edge rushers do not affect every play. It's not like their
defense
is
more than any other defense
without Parsons.
Micah Parsons does though. He's not, and I know they've kind of shifted him around and made him more of an edge rusher over the last couple of seasons. But he's not just an edge rusher. He's more of a Micah Parsons. He's kind of a guy that has invented his own position. And you kind of watch a Cowboys game, guess whose jersey number is always around the ball carrier? It's number 11, regardless of where he started the play at.
He does nothing in the run game.
He does nothing in the run game. He's not a great run defender.
He's not Chris Jones. This isn't a Chris Jones conversation.
And I'm not
Chris Jones affects every single play.
And I'm not
Micah Parsons does not do that.
Again, on the Dallas Cowboys defense, name me another player.
That's
of quality, that is of Micah Parsons' eliteness, of his caliber. Well, and I know that's a high bar.
Those guys don't exist in football. I'm not saying he's not a good player. I'm not saying he's not a good player.
He's a great player.
He's an elite player.
Great. I agree. I totally agree. He's probably one of the top five defensive players in the year, and I'm not paying him $45 million a year. He can't stop talking. He got all over Nico. He's under contract for $25 million. Go play.
The thing is, Jerry Jones, it's only going to behoove Jerry Jones to pay him yesterday.
the Cowboys and Micah Parsons. I hate that we always run out of time to finish this with Felix. I could not be on a more different, and Felix isn't the only, I argue with my Cowboys buddies. Some of them agree with me too, by the way. It's not that Micah Parsons isn't great. Micah Parsons is one of the five best defensive players in football. I don't debate that at all. He's awesome. I wish as a Cowboys fan that he could be a Cowboy forever, but I'm also realistic as a Cowboys fan and know paying him that much is not the formula for the Cowboys to reach the Super Bowl again. They're not good enough everywhere else to pay a defensive lineman like that. They have too many other places that they have to address and try to solve if they're going to win a Super Bowl. Micah Parsons affects plays in which the quarterback is throwing the ball. Like he can't impact the game. He can't because he plays a different position than a guy like Chris Jones, who I was leery about, but now, you know, it makes a little more sense. He impacts almost every single play. Parsons doesn't do that. He doesn't play a position that does that. So if I'm going to pay somebody that kind of money, it's going to be a quarterback, and it's probably going to be nobody else, honestly. Maybe the people that protect the quarterback. I just think that between the Bill Belichick era and most of this Chiefs era, you know, they're paying people now. They're finding ways to pay guys. But other than Chris Jones, like, all of it is to help Patrick Mahomes. So I don't, I mean, these great elite teams over the years let these guys walk when they hit this point. Outside of Chris Jones, he's like the exception on that.
Well, I mean, the Steelers have paid TJ Watt, right? Like, they didn't let him walk.
I'm talking about the teams that are winning Super Bowls or getting close. Who's the highest paid Bills defensive player? Ravens. Right. Like, it's like these teams, they know, like, the formula to win in this league is to make your quarterback awesome.
Yeah. I think the other thing, too, I mean, I what's inaccurate from what you said in the last segment is when you say that Micah Parsons does nothing to help Dak Prescott. I think that's wrong. I think that's fundamentally wrong, because at the end of the day, and I don't know, I mean, I'm sure that there's probably statistics to look this up, but at the end of the day, I'm sure that if you took Micah Parsons off the field, the expected number of points that an opponent would score would be more than if Micah Parsons was on the
probably
field.
3 points a game. Yeah.
That's three fewer points that Dak Prescott has to go and generate, right? Like, that's a big deal.
But he did, you know, he did miss four games last year, and they did get a look, but it never looked good for any of them. I think bringing in Eberflus as the defensive coordinator has a chance to have a bigger impact than giving Micah Parsons $45 million a year. I think making a philosophical defensive change has it, like, if the Cowboys were one player away, if you felt like you're one player away from a Super Bowl, okay, fine. But they're not. Like, they're not close defensively to being the kind of unit on the field that can allocate that many resources to one guy.
So then here's the question then. So you've committed money to Dak Prescott. Right. Like, you've got him locked in a lot of money to Dak Prescott.
Yes.
If Jerry Jones trades Micah Parsons, you're getting picks in return. You're probably getting a couple first rounders, I would think. Are you waving the white flag then on this season? And if so, then, if they're not anywhere close to winning a Super Bowl, even with Dak Prescott, then they're not going to be close without him either.
That's not the way they're operating their business. That's just me and my opinion that they're not going to win a Super Bowl. Right. They're not going to operate. The thing you can do in a trade is, yes, you get the draft capital. If I'm the Cowboys, I'm also asking for a running back in return that I can maybe mix into the room at the place that they really need to address. That is absolutely criminal what Jerry Jones has done with that position group when you're trying to help Dak Prescott. And the other reality is, too, I've got to give Dak a great offensive line. Right now, they're trying through the draft to do that. If any of those guys pan out, that's who I'm paying. That's where my money is going. It's CeeDee Lamb, right? They paid. They had to. That one felt more like they didn't have a choice than this one is to me. The other thing that drives me nuts is Micah Parsons is under contract, right? You're making $25 million a year. You're not a free agent. They're not trying to tag you or doing something like that. You're under contract. You have gone on the record to talk about how guys need to play under their contract. I mean, Micah Parsons can't stop talking about anything. He said about Nico, the Tennessee transfer, college football's a joke now. You might as well just make it into a semi-pro league.
Who cares?
Actually,
who cares? I mean, like, who cares what he's saying?
He signed.
Who cares? I don't care what Micah Parsons is saying.
If I'm the Cowboys and he's always wanting more, because this isn't the first. We've been talking about this for 3 years. He's wanted a new contract. Play under the contract you have. The words out of your mouth. It's just like at some point, I get it. I don't. Jerry Jones is something, right? But I get not wanting to pay Micah Parsons $45 million when he's under contract for $25 million. I get it, because I wouldn't either. Now, should you go about it a different way? Of course you should, right? But it's just not. It's not a good business decision, in my opinion, to pay. I don't care who it is. It's not even Micah Parsons. Insert player
here. It sounds like it is Micah Parsons. Like, it sounds like you've got an issue with what he's been saying.
I really don't. I think that's clouding. I love Micah Parsons. It's not that. It's that he and Jerry Jones are not a good fit together. They both love talking all the time. That's not a good fit, right? All the time. Both of them. Yip, 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 yip. They're incapable of handling this professionally. So that's another reason. Like, if it's not a good fit, and I don't think it is, from a business standpoint in the game of football, I'm not paying a defensive end $45 million right now. Unless I'm like Buffalo, where I am literally that player could put that could make the difference in me winning a Super Bowl. But Micah Parsons is not that for the Cowboys. I just don't think he is.
If the Cowboys trade him, they're not going to trade him. But if they trade him, in my opinion, that's waving a white flag on this season, because what you're going to get in return, by and large, is draft capital for the future. And then the contract, at least for this upcoming season, the money that you're paying Dak Prescott is a sunk cost. If the Cowboys feel like, with Micah Parsons on their roster, that they can win a championship. And you know what? Brian Schottenheimer has said as much, that he feels like they are going to be competing for a championship this season. Whether or not that's accurate, time will tell. Probably doubtful. But at the end of the day, if you are going to move away from Micah Parsons and not pay him, then why in the world did you pay Dak Prescott a year ago? They shouldn't
have
done that.
That's a better question. They shouldn't. No, because he was under contract too.
If they're going to walk away from Micah Parsons and kick the can down the road and try to get draft assets for the future, like, I could understand paying Dak Prescott for the 2026 season, 2027, 2028. But why pay him the amount of money you're paying him?
I don't.
If you're
going to
just go and trade Micah Parsons,
the Dak contract is why you can't pay Parsons, unfortunately,
because Dak Prescott is why you can't trade Micah Parsons either.
I don't agree, because I think you can get enough back. The best case scenario for the Cowboys, and ultimately what I think will happen, is he'll play under his contract this year. Is he going to hold out?
He might.
He's under contract.
He might.
He can. He sure can. He can, and he won't get paid. And I'll bet you he won't do that. I'll bet you he plays out his contract. He doesn't get one this year. They try to tag him next year, and then that's when we probably have, you know, push come to shove, and they'll either trade him or whatever. They'll get him some kind of a sign and trade. But my money right now says nothing happens, and he plays under his contract, because that's what should happen. If you can't come to terms on a deal, which they can't, then play out your contract and either hit free agency or make $50 million next year playing on the tag. Or demand a trade then, because then you're not losing money. You're no longer under contract. You're not losing money.
Nothing's guaranteed, though. I mean, what if he decides, hey, look, there's an injury risk. If I play on this final year of my deal, I'm going to hold out. I'm going to lose that money, and I'm going to protect my health and my body, you know, because I may end up getting hurt, and then my value goes down on the open market.
He could. He sure could. He's under contract for $24 million this year. He's not – I mean, it's not – It's a ton of money, and he has not made a ton of money as a football player. To walk away from $24 million is not a move I think he's willing to make. I think he plays under his deal. We'll see what happens. I would not give him a $45 million. Here's the other reality. If Micah Parsons comes out and has 20 sacks this year, his market value doesn't go up. It's not going to get higher than it is right now.
You're right.
Because right now, He wants to be paid the highest anyway.
You're right.
What advantage is there for the Cowboys to give him that deal right
with
now?
That logic,
that's what I can't figure out.
With that logic, and I don't disagree with you, what's the advantage for Parsons to play on the final year of his contract if his value is not going to go up at all? It can only stay the same or go down.
Because it'll cost him $24 million.
I get it, but if you are potentially running the risk of getting yourself injured, yeah, you could make $24 million for 1 year, or you could hold, I'm not saying he's going to hold out, but you could hold out and try to get a contract for $3 or $4 million.
He doesn't hit free agency if he holds out. You can't do that. You can't just not play.
I get it. What I'm saying is that by the logic of how much money he's making and all of that and under the contract, his value is not going up either way. So that's not a benefit to the Cowboys, nor is it a benefit to Micah Parsons.
No, it's a benefit to just play this year. The Cowboy, he's not going to, he's the same valued player now as he is if they do it next year. He's going to reset the market one way or the other.
Unless he gets injured.
That's always an if in football, but he can't become a free agent if he doesn't play. So you want to talk about a risk. I mean, he can't go into the offseason and negotiate a new deal. If he sits out this season, he doesn't get the, it's service time in baseball. You can't just sit out and when you're under contract, he won't be a free agent. So then he just doesn't get paid. And then what? He doesn't get paid again next year?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is going to drag on for quite a while because you're in a situation, honestly, where I feel like it's, you know, almost a no win for both sides. Like, honestly, like I'm kind of on Micah Parsons' side here a little bit. I feel like he's been, and I know he talks a lot, but he's gotten a lot of shots taken at him. Really, for no good reason,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Jerry Jones can't get out of his own way. Yeah. I agree. The Cowboys have handled this very, very poorly. They should have signed him 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the situation as
they shouldn't have signed Dak. They shouldn't have given Dak that contract.
I agree. Listen, you won't find anybody screaming that from the rooftops louder than me, but they did.
I think they've painted themselves into a corner because of the money that they've committed to Prescott.
I agree. The situation that exists right now, though, is what it is. And what it is, that's what I'm saying. They don't need to pay Micah Parsons. They didn't need to pay Dak. I agree. They should have signed Micah Parsons a couple years ago. I agree. But they didn't. And so now this is the situation we're presented with. They've got a great player, one of the best at his position, under contract for $24 million, who doesn't really have a choice. He's got to play. And I think that's ultimately what's going to happen. It is. If he wants to hold out, good luck. Good luck. But I don't think that's the best decision for him on a personal level.
Hey, just a reminder, you've got a chance to win a trip to see the Zac Brown Band Love and Fear live at Sphere Las Vegas this December. All you have to do, download the Odyssey app, listen to KFH for at least an hour for your chance to win. Learn more at odyssey.com/Zac. Thanks to Messina Touring Group for this great giveaway. That's going to wrap things up here on Sports Daily. Don't forget Royals baseball tonight, game two of their series against the Red Sox. Pre-game coverage at 6 o'clock, first pitch at 6:10 tonight from Boston. Our thanks to Felix Johnson for being on the show talking NFL and Chiefs. Tomorrow on the program, our KU insider Sharice Latta joins us, and we will talk about game two of that Royals-Red Sox series. For Max Power, for Jacob Albrock, I'm Tommy Caster. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.